You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
So we prayed together, and he goes, well, he was so happy, you know. He goes, well, I'm off today to San Diego. I said, oh, I said, you have grandkids out in San Diego and a family? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm a major league umpire. He goes, the season starts today.
He was on my show. What was his name?
Don't do that to me.
But anyway, he was on my show, yeah.
37 years as a major league umpire, the longest term an umpire served in the majors.
Yeah.
Bruce Fremming.
Yes, Bruce Fremming. Very good.
And his wife, when he came back the next year after the season ended, Rose Marie came to me and she said, Pastor, I have a new husband.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
That was the first Sunday there.
I wonder what made him go forward.
The Lord. The Lord turned the light on, man.
He used to live up there at the Grand Harbor. I wonder if he's still there.
Never went to his home.
I wonder how he is.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was a confirmation of this ministry that God had brought me into.
The first day you're preaching.
It was the first Sunday.
This guy comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people were saved. And I would preach through Ephesians for 1 year, verse by verse. Over 80 people were saved and baptized.
And that's when he turned to the crowd and said, batter up! Okay, Greg, you hit a home run!
So God is good. And he's proven himself faithful. You know, I was studying this past week about the providence of God, which is different than a miracle. A miracle of God is where God intervenes in the natural realm.
Yeah.
Providence is where God uses the natural.
Yes.
And orchestrates behind the scenes while bad things are happening to Rhett Palmer.
Yeah.
God is working for his good.
I mean, you know, you get that card that's in front of you that's poking along. Oh, my word, they're going 32 miles an hour. Next thing you know, oh, there's a cop. That car saved me from getting a speeding ticket.
And listen, we all seek after the miracle.
Yeah.
Miracles don't happen that often.
No.
Providence happens every day.
Yeah.
We need to be thinking and thanking God for his providential hand on our lives.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do every day. I'm telling you, I'm thankful to be able to pastor a church.
But let's talk about that. For some reason, faith pleases God. For instance, Mary was told by the angel, you're going to bear a child. Okay.
Yes.
Emmanuel, God is with us. Messiah is coming. She says, well, how can that be? I've never known a man, but as you say, be it unto me. She believed the angel. Her faith was considered her righteousness. Abraham says, God speaks to me, says, okay, I believe you. And
drops everything and goes.
His faith is his righteousness. So there's something about, I remember when Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who I had the pleasure of meeting a couple times, like the power positive thinking guy.
Yeah.
And he helped bring me to Jesus in a way.
Wow.
But anyway, he said at the end, it was about 94, 95 years old, he says, I think the whole thing of it is that we're here to learn faith. We're here to learn faith.
Interesting that he would say that.
Yeah, and I don't know why faith pleases God and why it's quiet. You know, there are times when I go like, you know, I haven't heard from you in a while, and you're being awful quiet. And I'll go, you know, it'd be nice if you blatantly showed up. And he has a couple times in my life, you know, but I've been on this desert for, you know, 10, 15 years. Hello? And then the next day I'm going, you know, I'm kind of glad that you don't speak to me because you know what? Then I'd be accountable when I'm a jerk. And to be a jerk when God's, you don't know if God's watching or not, but then to be a jerk, like if you knew him, how would you have to behave? And of our own volition and our own power, we can't. I don't know about you. But I'm not the same man that I am when I'm really on my knees. You know, what's that song? When I fall to my knees, I can touch the sky.
Yes. Well, see, God's always watching, even when we don't think he is.
Yeah.
Even when we think he's, you know, so far away from us. He is all over it. The scripture says he knows the number of hairs on our head. Jesus said in Matthew 10 that my Father cares for the little sparrow. Now listen, the sparrow was what they would bring to temple to offer sacrifice. The poor Jews, they couldn't afford anything.
Not a sparrow falls from heaven without the Father's permission.
They would pick up a little sparrow at the market, paid nothing for it.
Yeah.
And that sparrows were so cheap that the guy would say, here, have another one too. Take two. And then they would get to the door of the courtyard to enter the temple, and the priest would have their little market set up and say, oh, God would never receive that sparrow. You got to have this lamb over here that's unblemished. And they would charge exorbitant amounts.
This one for payments.
And Jesus, that's why he cast them out of the temple.
Yeah.
So making usury of a sparrow in that day meant nothing. Really, it was so invaluable. And yet God cares about the sparrow. How much more does he care about us? That he knew us from the foundation of the world. Our names were written in the book of life, those who were saved, from the foundation of the world.
Wow.
There's never been a time that God's not watching and know what's going on, and even Jesus, though you don't see it. Jesus, but that's where the faith comes in.
Jesus said, you didn't pick me. I picked
Absolutely,
you.
Yes.
And that's probably because of the arrogance of man.
Well, man would, yeah, you're right. He would claim credit. If man could save himself, he would claim credit. But the fact is, no man can.
I helped this many old ladies across the street. Oh, I fed the hungry, clothed them. No, he does require those. And this is the funny thing, because later on in life, you got people coming to him, well, we cast out demons in your name. We healed in your name. You know, they did all, we prophesied in your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Now, these are outward appearance of people that are really religious in today's world.
And they weren't lying. They did those things.
But Jesus says,
I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you who practice lawlessness. Here's what he meant.
What?
I am the fulfillment of the law.
Yeah.
You have made your own laws that are righteous.
You know, I'm going to tell you a story.
And it's lawlessness.
I want to tell you a story. So about a year ago, I said to the Lord, I don't know why. I said, you know, I don't know if I want to go to your heaven. And I said, because if you've got, if they're arrogant up there, like the puffed up people on this earth, I don't want to be around them. And secondly, if your angels are like that, and I'm not sure if the angels are going to be kind and sweet, maybe they're puffed up, said, I don't think I can stand an eternity like that. So I'm not sure I want to go. Now listen to the story. I'm not sure that I want to go to your heaven. So I go to bed that night. I get up in the morning. And I know this is the Lord because I picked up this little teeny tiny Bible. And this little teeny, we're going to go for about five more minutes. Pick up this little teeny tiny Bible. And I open it, just first page. It's in Romans, I believe. Jesus is sitting on the ground with his disciples.
That wouldn't be Romans.
Okay.
Well, probably one of the Gospels.
All right, one of the Gospels. Anyway. He's there anyway. So he's sitting on the ground with his disciples.
Yeah.
And these Pharisees come up. Now, people don't know, these Pharisees had these beautiful outfits, you know, gold and blue and white.
Oh, yeah.
And they're beautiful. They said, Rabbi. At least they acknowledged him and gave him the dignity of calling him Rabbi. Rabbi, which means teacher. Rabbi. Your disciples are eating with unclean hands.
Mm.
And he looked up at them, and then for some reason he must have breathed on it, because I started laughing uproariously. I immediately got it. He was like incredulously looking at them. Maybe he put a little extra in there that wasn't even in the Bible. For me it was. And he says, you follow the precepts of men, not the precepts of God. For what goes in a man's mouth and comes out the other end does not defile a man, but what comes out of his mouth defiles a man. You follow the precepts of men. He'd answered my prayer from the night before. Even he doesn't want religious, arrogant people in heaven.
They're not there.
No.
You'd never make it. If you were that way, you wouldn't be there.
No.
And what's interesting, in Revelation,
careful, right?
In Revelation, when John is there, God gives him the vision to see what's happening in heaven, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's the scroll that's locked up.
Yeah.
And no one in heaven could unlock the scroll, could open the scroll.
Yeah.
And there's weeping. John starts weeping.
Yeah.
And one of the elders says to him, wait, don't weep. And he looks up. I get this. This is a picture of heaven. And he sees what looks like a lamb that was slain. He doesn't see Jesus in this glorified body walking up. He sees a lamb that's bloodied walk towards the scroll and open the scroll.
Takes the seal off.
Talk
right?
about brokenness and humility. Christ in heaven.
Wow.
A lamb that was slain.
Wow.
Was the only one who could open the scroll. Only brokenness and humility are in the presence of God.
Yeah.
There's no way that arrogance or pride could ever make it there. No way.
Wow.
Good to be with you, my friend.
Good to be with you. Greg Semschrott, you have a church in Vero Beach, Florida.
Yeah,
what's the name of it?
Vero Bible Fellowship.
Where's it located?
We meet out at Storm Grove Middle School on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. That's 57th Street, the same street that the school board is located on.
Okay.
And then we meet Wednesday nights for Bible study at the Church of Christ on 20th.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What time is that?
We meet at 6:30. And we meet in their Founders Hall. They've been so gracious to open their place to us because we don't own a facility
yet. 66
and 60. Yeah, that's it. It's actually between 43rd and 27th on the north side of the road. I don't know the exact address.
That's the right side if you're heading west. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
And that's Wednesday nights at 6:30.
Yeah.
And then Sunday at 10, one service.
One service on Sunday at 10 a.m. at Storm Grove Middle School.
Storm Grove Middle School. On
57th? 57th Street.
57th.
57th Street. Yeah.
Okay. So you can take that new 53rd out and then take a right.
Yeah. I want to say it's 6400. 57th, but if you just put in your phone, your Google map, if you put in Storm Grove Middle, it'll take you right there. We meet in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful facility. It's probably the prettiest school in Indian River County, and we call the cafeteria our chapel-teria.
Come break bread.
We're a nomadic church. We don't own any facilities. We'll go wherever people will let us use a facility, you know.
Hey, Pastor Greg, good to see you.
You too. Love you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Ray. Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Would people drive a car 100,000 miles with no oil change? Of course not. However, that is what we do to our bodies. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America have a cutting-edge tool to clean blood. It's called Therapeutic Plasma Exchange. Wouldn't everyone like to clean out molds, toxins, herbicides, pesticides, forever chemicals, heavy metals, and even microplastics? Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America can do that. We are in network with most insurances. Our phone number is 772-298-4477 or Google us in Port St. Lucie.
Let me walk.